We're in a series titled 50 Days of Transformation. And today is week 3. And here's a key verse. It's Romans 2:12, verse 2. This is a little different translation than what we've read before, but let's read it together. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. The other translation we have quoted says, renewing your mind. This one says, God will change you when you change the way you think. So there are 7 categories. We are journeying through this 50 days. Here they are. The first one was our spiritual life. The second was physical. We covered that last week. And by the way, I hope that your Sabbath, your Sunday, looks different than the other 6 days of your life. You know why? You get replenished and renewed when you let up emotionally and physically. God took one day off, a day of rest, and He wants us to do the same thing. Our 7th day needs to look different than the other 6. That's what physical health was all about. Today, we are talking about mental health. And here's the picture that's, it's the 2 fingers pushed together. You've seen this before. But listen, God wants to change your mental health, the way you think, the way you see life, because it all starts in the mind. And we've used this picture that when God's hand touches our hand, the human hand, listen, there's something called transformation that happens in our lives. So the title of today's message is this: change your life by changing, there we go, one more back. Change your life by changing your mind. If you go back one more, if you would please. Change your life by changing your mind. Well, that's still not it, but we'll get there. There we are. Thank you very much. So today we're going to talk about your mind and how God wants to change the way you think. You know why? Your thoughts determine your future. I came across some cute quotes about the mind before we get into the lesson. And so here's the first one. Minds are like parachutes. They work best when open. You know anybody that's got a closed mind? Don't look at the person next to you, but just, here's the second one. Some minds are like concrete, thoroughly mixed and permanently set. There's nobody here in the congregation like that, right? Now, I saw somebody elbow somebody. Hey, it's so true. You know, we have to have some openness in our mind. Here's the third one. I love this one. Minding your own business is a full-time job. Stay employed. Do you realize the trouble we get in when we don't mind our own business and we get into somebody else's business? All right, here's the last one. It's kind of cute. My mind not only wanders, sometimes it leaves completely. So, hey, I experienced that myself, but there were some cute ones. But this is my transition slide where we get to the serious stuff. Here it is. The mind map you have will change your life. I want to talk about your mind map, your thought processes, what goes on between your ears. It's called your brain. It's where your thoughts originate, the mind map. And when you and I get a better or improved mind map, you know what happens? Our life can change for the better. This whole series, or this particular message is this: you and I need to think about what we think about. We just don't accept everything that falls into the mind. We have to be a manager of it. You and I have to steward the minds that, or the thoughts that go into our mind. And I came across this quote. It's from Rick. He says this: God is far more interested in changing your mind than in changing your circumstances. You know why? When we change our mind, it's called transformation. We grow. I go right to the prayer request, Lord, change my circumstance. And God is saying, wait a minute, before I change that circumstance, let me change your attitude and your mind map toward your circumstance. So I want to share with you some thoughts about why I must manage my mind. They're in your sermon listening guide. Let's get started. Why you and I need to manage our minds. First one is this, because my thoughts control my life. Do you realize everything starts with a thought? If you think it and then you act on it, it comes into being. But it starts with a thought. Your thoughts, my thoughts, control our life. Here's a slide said a little differently. That which consumes your mind controls your life. Let me stop right there. What consumes you? Is it the news? In other words, what saturates your mind throughout the day? That, my friends, will control us. And so whatever controls or consumes our mind, wow, that is the end product of what it's shaping us into. Read with me the verse in your notes, Proverbs 4:23. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Circle the word shaped. Your thoughts will shape your life over time. You know what it is? It's called a mind map. Something you do over and over again. And the mind map is critical to our future. Every action begins with a thought. Now, here's the downside and the upside. The downside is this. Maybe you were told as a child, you won't amount to anything. Maybe somebody said you're clumsy, or you're ugly, or you're not very good at this. It was an idea. And if we believe that in our mind, we feel a little bit belittled throughout life. It's not even true, but we believe it because somebody told us. That's the downside of thoughts. The upside is this. God comes along and says, you're a child of the King. You're a daughter. You're a son. You are joint heirs with Jesus, and you have an eternal inheritance of grace. And when you get that going in your mind, the upside is it can change your future. So our thoughts control our life. The second one is this. There's a battle for your mind. We have to manage our minds because there's a battle going on inside of us. Read with me Romans 7:22-23 in your notes. I love to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned. But there's something else deep within me that is at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin within me. In my mind, I want to be God's servant. But instead, I find myself still enslaved to sin. I want you to circle three words. Circle the word war. Circle the word slave in the middle. And then the word enslaved on the last line. You see, we're in a battle of what goes on in our mind. And whatever gets your attention gets you. Whatever you and I consume in our minds or we park in our heads, whatever gets our attention will eventually get us. So we have to learn to manage it. And there's this battle that goes on inside us. And the third one is this. The third thing why I need to manage my mind, because it's the key to peace and happiness. It's a key. Read with me the verse, Romans 8:6. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. You see, we're managers of what goes on in our minds. And it's important that the key to a peace and happiness is when we get our minds in line with the Spirit of God. Here, listen to this. An unmanaged mind leads to tension. A managed mind leads to tranquility. An unmanaged mind leads to pressure. A managed mind leads to peace. An unmanaged mind leads to conflict. A managed mind leads to confidence. You see, God wants you and me to control our thought life. It's a lifelong battle, but our thoughts control our future, and it's the key to peace and happiness. So here's what I want to do. I want to share with you three daily choices for a healthy mind. They're very simple, very practical. Let's get started. Number one, the first daily choice for a healthy mind is this. I must feed my mind with truth. I must feed my mind with truth. Read with me Matthew 4:4 in your notes. People need more than bread for their life. They must feed on every word of God. You've heard the statement, you are what you eat. It's also true, you are what you think. It's input and output. Junk food in, junk food out. Healthy food in, healthy food out. And so we are what we think. Now the question is, what do we feed our minds with? Now let me ask you a question. Compare the amount of time you spend watching a news report on TV or something on the internet versus the amount of time you spend in the Word of God. Because the majority of the time that we commit to will be the shaper of what we think. And the writer here says this, you and I need to feed our minds on a regular basis with the Word of God. You know why? It's mind mapping. It's developing chains of thought, lines of thought that can change us going forward. So the question is, well, when do we feed our mind? And the answer is very simple. All the time. All the time. We should be at this all day long. There's three verses here about David. I want us to read those together. They're very good. Let's read them. I rise early to cry out for help and to put my hope in your words. Lord, how I love your word. I think about it all day long. Even in the darkest of night, your teachings fill my mind. You see, David was on the run for quite a while. Saul, the king, was trying to kill him. And you know what he's doing during all that time? Morning, afternoon, and evening when he's being chased. Saul wanted to take his life. He's rehearsing the word of God. Now let me ask you a question. You have something going on in your life probably right now, which is probably heavy duty in some area. What's going through your mind about it? Are you like David, where you are feeding your mind, pushing back on the bad thoughts, the negative thoughts, and you're trying to create a new mind map based on the Word of God? We just have to learn how to manage our minds. So Bjorg is going to come, and she's going to share something with us of, it kind of ties together. It's a goal she set. She's going to come and share it. But it's about feeding your mind with a certain approach to the future. And so Bjorg, come and just share with the group what God has laid in your heart.
Morning, everyone. Hasn't this been a great study so far? I mean, I've just been so blessed. But anyway, on the first one that we had, we were talking about goals in our group, and so, you know, we need to set goals during this time of this study so that we can, you know, achieve better things in the Lord. So one of the things that spoke to my heart was when Rick Warren said that we should pray to bring one person to the Lord this year. And I thought, you know, I pray for people to get saved. I pray for salvation over my family, my friends, you know, people I know. But I hadn't really said, Lord, help me to bring one person to you this year. And God really convicted me over that one. And so, and then he said, because we need to pass it on. What we have, the good news that we have, we need to pass it on to other people. And so my goal, one of my goals is for this year is that I will bring someone to the Lord. And I wanted to share with you too that I hope you have your books with you and you're taking notes as Pastor is preaching on this sermon today, because in our books we have 7 days of devotional, one for every day. And if you're just going to come here Sunday and listen to Pastor and then watch the DVD in your groups and not do the other things that are in the book, you're going to miss out on some tremendous blessings, because it really enforces what we learn every week and we can put it into practice. So I really wanted to encourage you. I also wanted to share that I have made myself accountable to the people in my group. In our second session when we talked about health, I said something to my group about there are some disciplines I need to set health-wise in my life. And I had two people come up to me today and ask me, did you do it? So I felt, no, not yet, but I will. It's kind of neat because it does make you accountable to each other, to help and pray for each other so that we can, become transformed like we're learning over the next 7 weeks. Praise God.
Thank you, Bjorg. A good example. Hey, we need to manage our minds, our future, setting goals, and make a difference in our lives. All right, let's go to number two. The second reason or truth, a daily choice we have to make for a healthy mind is this. I must free my mind from destructive thoughts. We must free our mind from destructive thoughts. Let me put it this way. There are things in each of our minds that need to be liberated. We need to be delivered from. We need to be released from, because we are a prisoner within our own minds. Everybody here can relate to that. And one of the choices we need to make is, how do I get free of the bad thinking patterns in my mind? And now here's a quote by William James. He says, the greatest weapon against stress is our ability to choose one thought over another. You see, you can have thoughts that fall into your head, into your mind, and you say, where did that come from? I've been in prayer time, and I've had something pop into my head, and I go, where did that come from? I mean, we're human beings, but the point is, we have to manage that. And I need to get free from any destructive thought patterns, mind mapping, that will make me a better person. Here's a key thought I want everybody to write down. You and I don't have to believe everything we think. You and I don't have to believe, nor should we, believe everything that comes into our head. You know why? Some of it just isn't good. Now, there's three different sources in a bad way that influence our minds. I would just want to do a summary thought here. There's three things. One is the old nature. So we live in a fallen, sinful nature. It's who we are. God came to rescue us from that. But have you ever been just doing something and you had something pop into your head and you go, where did that come from? It may have been from our own mind and sinful nature. Number two, the enemy of our soul, Satan, would want to plant thoughts in our mind that would derail us from good stuff. So we need to recognize good thoughts and bad thoughts. I mean, and he does that. He did that with Judas Iscariot. But number three, the world's value system. Now, listen closely. When you watch the news, when you watch a TV program, when you go to the theater, wherever you go, you see magazines at the checkout counter. It's the world system communicating a message to you. And you know what it's doing? It is shaping how you think. It shapes how I think. And so the world's value system, the TV, the internet, is bombarding us with ideas that are just sometimes off the wall or unhealthy and unproductive. So the secret is, how do we push back? How do we somehow challenge what goes on in our mind? Read with me Romans 8:5 in your notes. Those who are dominated by their sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Here's the pushback. Make sure you get this. When you ask Jesus Christ into your life, you are born again. You're a new person, a new creation. The power of the Holy Spirit is released in your life. That becomes the power center to rewire the mind map inside of us. And so whether it comes from our old sinful nature, from Satan himself, or the world's value system, the Holy Spirit, in conjunction with the Word of God, begins to do a new work of how we think. Read with me 2 Corinthians 10. It's in your notes. Though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish any argument and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I want you to circle two words: demolish and strongholds. Let me tell you what a stronghold is. A stronghold is like a knot inside of you. A stronghold is something where it's not quite right on the inside, but we can't seem to get past it. Could be a past hurt from your childhood. It could be the unfairness of someone in a marriage or someone that hurts you personally. Could be a whole bunch of things. It becomes a stronghold. It's like a knot in our spirit. Now listen, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit through Christ has come to demolish strongholds. And Paul goes on to say, take every thought captive. Take some work. Take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. In other words, if you get a thought in your head and it doesn't match up with what the Scripture says or Jesus says, we've got a battle on our hand. And we need to demolish the stronghold. Let me give you a couple examples. If you've had someone in your past that has hurt you deeply, and you say, you know what? I can never forgive them. You know what that is? That is a stronghold. You have a knot inside you, and it's just there. Here's another one. Maybe you have done something in your own life that you deeply regret. I mean, it's one of your darkest secrets, and you say, whoa, I can never forgive myself. You know what that is? That is a stronghold. Stronghold can even be against yourself. And Jesus comes along and Paul says, take every thought captive that you can find, make it obedient to Christ. So whether somebody hurt you, you got to demolish that stronghold because you have to learn how to forgive. You've done something that you regret. You have a stronghold toward yourself. You know what you need to do? You and I need to learn to practice forgiving ourselves. You know why? Jesus said that's what you're supposed to do. It's called grace. You get freed up on the inside. Most of us here have areas in our life we are not free. You know why? Strongholds. Sometimes they pile up. But go after them one by one and forgive others. Forgive yourself. Untie the knot through grace, because you submit it to Christ, you want to be obedient to Him, you want to take every thought in your life captive under grace. And you know what the end result will be? Listen, you will be free inside. Isn't that what we all want? Jesus died for it, and He wants you to have it. But you and I have to do the battle of literally this freedom from the mind from destructive thoughts. We got to work at that. So how temptation works, I just want to walk through this. You know, temptation comes from the lure of our own evil desires. These evil desires lead to evil actions, and then the evil actions lead to death. You know, when you're fishing, people that are expert fishermen, they know how to use the shiny lures, and they know which ones to use for certain fish. And, you know, you don't catch a fish with an empty hook. You know the bait that's needed for that fish. But the enemy of our soul, here's how it works. It starts with a desire. You and I have normal natural desires. It could be for food. It can be for money. It can be for sex. It can be to accomplish something in life. They're regular desires. But here's what happens. When the enemy somehow takes a regular desire and we don't make it submissive to God's word based on what his will is for us, we can really get in a heap of trouble. Step two, we begin to doubt what God really says about submitting to him, and well, this looks attractive, but it all starts with a normal desire. Number three, we eventually get into a place of deception where we believe Satan's lie. And we say, well, you know, like when the enemy came to Eve in the garden, she saw the fruit. It just looked good. That's a natural desire. And then she began to rationalize and said, well, did God really say I shouldn't eat that? And she began to toss it around in her mind. And then one thing led to the other, and she believed Satan's lie, which said, no, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and eat it. And she did. And that brought her to step four, disobedience and defeat. But the point I want to make is this. It always starts with a desire. Nothing wrong with desire. But when the desire is not controlled under the Word of God mind map that honors Christ, it will lead us to a place where it causes a lot of hurt and pain. The psalmist said, I've made up my mind to obey your laws forever, no matter what. So understand, we are all wired with desires which are good. But every desire needs to be submitted to the Lordship of Christ as we read the Word of God. And we say, God, what do I do with this? What do I do with that? And he will show us. Okay, the third one, and finally number three. The third thing we need to do for a healthy mind is I must focus my mind on the right things. This is about focus. Now, the first one is this. We need to think about Jesus. Here's three simple thoughts of how we focus going forward. And I'll have Jonica put that one up. We need to think about Jesus. Read with me the two verses under that point. Keep your mind on Jesus Christ. Think about Jesus' example. He held on while wicked people were doing evil things to him. So do not get tired and stop trying. Here's the point. Throughout the day, focus on Jesus himself. Remember when Peter got out of the boat? Jesus was on the water and said, come on out. Peter got out of the boat, and he started walking toward him. You know what happened then? Peter then got his eyes off Jesus, and what did he look at? The waves and the rain and the wind. And he began to sink. He had the wrong focus. You're here today, and you might be struggling. You might feel like you're sinking. You know why? You're looking at your circumstances rather than looking at your focus on Jesus. And so when Peter knew what happened, it says he called upon Jesus, and immediately Jesus reached out and lifted him up. So we need to keep our minds focused on Jesus himself. The second one is this. Think about others. Think about other people. Let's read the two verses. Don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and in what they are doing. Let us think about each other and help each other to show love and do good deeds. Here's what it's saying. Get your mind off ourselves and think about other people. You know, small groups are a great place for this to happen. You get together with other people and you hear their story, you share their burdens, and you get other person focused. One of the greatest things I found is when I'm in a down state or I'm in a low place and a little discouraged or I feel a little bit bummed out, if I can get my mind off myself, if I can think of other people and go help somebody else out, I tell you what, that can make all the difference going forward. So point number two, we not only think about Jesus, we think about others. And then number three, the third thing we can focus on is we think about eternity. Eternity. Read with me those two verses. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only about things down here on earth. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. I believe the NIV says, set your mind on things above. In other words, let it consume you. Let it just be a focal point. And when we do that, good things can happen. So, three daily choices for a healthy mind. You got to feed it all day long. Number two, you got to free your mind from destructive thoughts. Push back on some of the things that come into your head and replace it with something healthy. I mean, we're in a battle. Take it captive and make it obedient to Christ. And then number three, I must focus my mind on the right things. Before Jack comes, I'm going to share one last slide. You've seen this before, but here it is. You know what's in your mind this morning? You know the knots, the strongholds that are there that have been there for years. You may have been dealing with this for decades. There's some things in my life that I've spent decades working on, and I'm still working on them. It's a stronghold. But here's the deal. I want you to grasp this. When you take your hand of faith and it touches the hand of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, when those two come together, you know what happens? It's called transformation. It's called change. And your thoughts control your life. And understand, Jesus died for you to have a good thought life, to get the upper hand, to get control of the hurts of the past. He wants you to live that way. He wants to demolish strongholds in your life. And so as I conclude, here's my question. What do you have in your life, in your mind, that you need God to touch? Everybody's got something. It's something where you want the divine finger of God to somehow touch your mind map. It's the way you think, and you may have thought that way for years, but it's time where God is saying, hey, I want you to think differently about who you are. I want you to love yourself better. I want you to forgive yourself. I think there's people here today. The message God has for you is you have a stronghold in your life, and you know what that stronghold is? You are angry with yourself. You're disappointed with yourself, and it's a knot in your soul, in your spirit. It's all tangled up. And it'll take you being willing to forgive yourself to get free. And so God is saying, I will take my hand, the divine hand of God, I will touch somebody else's hand, their finger, to set them free if they really want their mind map changed and transformed. And that's what he wants to do today. Let's bow for prayer. Just before Pastor Jack comes, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to lift before God what it is in your mind map that is a stronghold. It'll only take a couple seconds to figure it out. And I want you to be willing to surrender it to Christ through grace. Right now, just surrender it and say, I want to make this thought obedient to Christ. I want to take it captive. It may mean forgiving someone else. It may mean forgiving yourself. But let the divine hand of God come into contact with your hand, your stronghold, and you begin to go to work on getting free of the knot that is inside you. Just take a few moments and let God work in your heart. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person in this sanctuary and every person listening online that you will defeat the strongholds in each of our lives. May you just liberate. May you emancipate. May you release. May you somehow help people not to be a prisoner within themselves. We surrender our mind map, our ways of thinking, to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God. And we pray that you will demolish, defeat, destroy, overcome, tear down, and transform anything that is not in obedience to Christ of how He would want us to think about our own selves. And for this, we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hearts and our souls. I pray for that person here today who you are calling and speaking to about giving up a stronghold that they have inside them. And it's a stronghold they have against themselves from many years ago. I pray that your Spirit right now will do a divine work even in the people listening online, that you will set somebody free. Make them whole. Make them healthy. Make them liberated. All because they're looking for you to change their mind map of how they do life. So, Father, as we go forth, may we take every thought captive and bring it unto obedience to Christ. And for this, we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed, and you may leave quietly.